The Popcorn Boys, and we're coming in hot. We are coming at you live from Culver City, California, and Traverse City, Michigan.
Nice job.
First appearance on the pod for Traverse City.
That's correct. Northern Michigan represent.
I'm Kyle Jameson. With me is Daniel Trainer. And Daniel, have you
Yeah.
ever ridden a giant worm?
Been a while, Kyle. It's been a while.
Wow. Well, welcome to Popcorn Boys episode number 62.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
Our second episode to feature a discussion after seeing a Dune movie in the theater.
Isn't that unbelievable? I think we mentioned this last episode, but Dune, I guess we just called Dune, but for now I guess we call it Dune Part One.
Sure.
We saw in theaters together double feature with Wes Anderson's The French Dispatch. Sort of a mirage of an evening that I don't really remember, much like I didn't really remember much of the first Dune movie, which is why I went back and watched it before seeing Dune Part Two. But it is
Well,
crazy.
we embarked on an incredible journey to rewatch all of Denis Villeneuve's filmography.
Listen.
I made it. I started at the end and worked backwards. You started at the beginning and worked forwards, and we did not make it to the middle.
Hold on. I would like to
It was
hold
a
on.
valiant effort.
Yeah, it was. I got off to a real good start. Hold on.
Yeah. What'd you see? What?
I watched the first four movies that he directed, which are in order: 1998, August 32nd on Earth. Okay?
Okay.
2000s Maelstrom.
Okay.
2009's Polytechnique. Now, if I were to give you $1 million, I don't think you could guess what Polytechnique is about. Oh, you're wrong. It's about a school shooting.
Oh, the Montreal
Correct, which I had never heard about. And
one.
when you find out about a cultural event like that you never heard of, does that make you feel odd?
When did it happen?
The actual shooting, let's find out.
Yeah, because I mean, if it was like, 1987, I wouldn't feel weird because
Sure.
is it in
In
the 80s?
1989, on December 6, 1989, 25-year-old Canadian Marc Lépine entered the campus of Polytechnique Montreal and fatally shot 14 women, wounding 10 other women and four men before killing himself on campus.
Sheesh.
Yes. Killed all these people in a feminist rage. It was interesting because I did go back and like,
Anti-feminist rage?
yeah, sorry, correct. But I went back and I was, of course, as one does, reading all about the shooting itself, the real life shooting after watching the movie. And it's insane how, and obviously this isn't a didn't happen fully, but after the shooting in Montreal, the Canadian government was like, oh yeah, we should do something about these gun laws. And there's
Sure.
never been another
Has
one again.
hasn't been one since.
Up until the shooting in Nova Scotia, remember the at where was that? What was that place called? I guess it was just in Nova Scotia. Remember?
I'm supposed to remember
I
the
killed 22 people in 2020. I don't know. Whatever. Listen, Canada's not perfect either. We all have a lot to learn.
Well,
And
I
this
mean, who could have
movie.
predicted that 3 minutes into the podcast we'd be going down a deep dive of mass shootings?
Well, you know
But I guess
who's.
that is one of his. There's a connection there. This isn't just a random tangent.
You know what's weird? Was there ever a Columbine movie? I'm sure there was like a TV. I'm sure there's like a something or other, right? TV movie,
Right, and I'm sure some
something.
documentaries or whatever, but.
Well, like Gus Van Sant's Elephant is sort of the definitive school shooting. Would you call Gus Van Sant's Elephant the definitive school shooting movie?
Yeah,
Now that is a
probably.
feature film I owned. There's a feature film I owned
Well,
on.
actually, probably Bowling for Columbine,
Oh wow. Sure. Yeah. Of course,
which.
the anniversary of Columbine the other day, and I wouldn't be so remiss to say this on the podcast if I probably hadn't said it already, but I am one known to look at pictures from Columbine. Now.
Okay. Not sure how we move on from that, but here we are.
I think it's fascinating that there's a record of all of these things if you want to find it. Like, anyway, you can look up pictures from Columbine. I mean, did you know there's a picture of Dylan and Eric? Like, you can see where they are dead. Do you know that? In the library?
I guess I didn't know that for a fact, but
I'll put it in the show notes.
Sure.
Anyway, rest in peace. Not to them, but to them. I mean, I meant to the victims, but do you say rest in peace to them?
Should we start this episode over?
No, I'm sure. I'm curious. Like,
no, kind of. Yeah. They were certainly troubled.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for them though.
No, I,
is that a hot take?
Hard to wish peace on people like that, you know.
It is very true. It is very true. Anyway, Dune. So the second time we talked about Dune on the podcast. Now, so you also watched a Denis movie.
Denis. The French Canadian stuff. I struggle with it.
Denis Villeneuve. Correct?
Do you hit the V at the end? I think it's Villeneuve.
Probably something we should have looked up. How to say the director's name we'll be talking about for, I don't know, 4.5 hours?
Oh, let's hope so.
But anyway, so I watched the first four in of his filmography, which I really, it's really interesting watching those movies and then knowing what he would later start to become. Like, if you watch those first three, you're never like, you know what this guy should do? Direct a sci-fi epic.
Right, like, so I'm always curious about that. Nothing. There's
no,
like when you if you watch like the first couple of Christopher Nolan movies, for instance,
yes.
Like
yes,
the ideas are you know they're you know smaller versions of them, but the ideas are kind of there. I mean, obviously, yeah. Filmmaking is not nearly on any sort of scale, but
you see it from a filmmaking perspective for. Sure, like there are definite shots in his first movie where you're like, oh, okay, like I sort of see that. And I liked all of them, honestly. Like Incendies, his fourth one, which really kind of catapulted him to the rest of the career. That's that one you watch and you're like, oh, this is a movie. Like this is a
yeah.
There's some budget here. This is like an incredibly well made. Thing the first three are much more sort of smaller budget independent things, but I think right, they're all quite good. But it's really interesting how diverse just those first four are, and then of course you look at his entire filmography and you go from that to Sicario to Blade Runner to Dune to Prisoners to you know et cetera. It really is sort of remarkable how diverse everything that he has been able to do is.
Absolutely. Which brings us to Dune 2. So I watched Dune 1, Blade Runner 2049, Dune 2. I did not go further than that, although Arrival and Sicario are Arrival and Sicario I've seen, you know, within the past year or so. So I'm familiar with those as well. But I mean, let's talk about some sand.
Well, let's talk, at least I would like to talk briefly before we get into part two about the first one. Because I had not watched it since theaters. And my general thought about how I felt about it the first time was, what a beautiful film.
Yeah.
What is happening? Generally, yeah, sort of what is going on? And I've said this before. I don't care. These movies are generally not how my brain operates. Within watching the movie, the first Dune for the first 10 minutes, I already was confused. Again, we got Arrakis. We got this. We got the.
You're not a sci-fi guy.
No, I'm not. I'm really not. My brain just does not work that way. Like, it just doesn't. I wish it did, but it just doesn't. And so I'm watching the first Dune again at home. You know, not the way to really enjoy it, but, you know, I'm watching it on my home TV and I'm watching it again. I'm like, man, I still have no fucking clue what is going on. I mean, really, I had no clue what's going on. Like, I really tried to zone in, zero in, no phone, watch it, try and pay attention to what's going on in the storyline. 15 minutes in, I have absolutely no idea. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this again. I'm going to go sit and watch 3 more hours of this in the theater. Like, at least I'll have, I don't know, some popcorn with me, whatever. Like, I'm like, I kind of watched it and I was like, I'm getting less excited for Dune Part 2, remembering how little I understood about the first one.
Okay, so House Atreides.
Well, I can't.
Gets assigned to be the kind of guardians of Arrakis.
Yeah.
From their rival House Harkonnen.
I'm literally already lost.
So, what did that mindset continue even when you finished Dune 1, or were you like kind of fired back up by the end of it or anything?
Not really. I mean, I don't love the first Dune movie. I can appreciate it for what it is, and I remember really enjoying the theater experience. And but with that being said, I'm brave enough to admit that, like, the first Dune movie is not a movie that I certainly not love, and I don't really even know how much I like it. So that was the mindset that I had going into Dune Part 2.
Wow. So brave of you to admit.
It kind of is. It kind of is. In today's climate.
I mean, so for me, I'm pretty nerdy about stuff like this. So I liked it, I think, more than you did originally. I've seen it a few times since. I mean, probably just, you know, I don't know. It's popped up maybe 1.5 times post-theater, but before my rewatch last week. So I kind of had a pretty good sense of what was going on. I do remember in the moment being like, yeah, I don't know if all that much happened in this movie. It felt like a kind of a prologue.
I couldn't tell if nothing happened or if everything happened. if I was missing something. I mean, we have the pleasure of Oscar Isaac. I mean, that's not gonna hurt. But
R.I.P.
May he rest. And his name, of course, let's say it together.
One, Mr. Two, three, or... I actually think it's Leto. Leto. Leno, Leto?
I will take your word for that.
The Duke of Atreides?
No. House
Atreides? Duke?
Duke.
Something like that.
Okay. Yeah, gone too soon. Gone too soon. But so that's remember, where I was. That's where I was when I went to the, and I hate to brag, the AMC Cherry Blossom IMAX.
The Cherry Blossom.
The Cherry Blossom IMAX in Traverse City, Michigan on Friday for an opening. Well, we can't even call it opening night, I guess. Opening weekend showing of Dune Part 2 in IMAX. And I settled down, not with my popcorn that looked like a vagina. I did look around, see if anyone was trying to.
More like a butt.
Yeah, I guess I should recognize that more, huh? I guess, yeah, it does look like a butt.
Yeah, it's more of a butthole.
Yeah, for sure. And that is hot to me.
Did you get a signature cup?
No, they had some available because I know that those have like sold out at other AMCs or whatever. But I saw one. There was one behind the counter. But I was not about, they're like $27 or something.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I'm not, and that's not with the popcorn price included, as far as I know. I was not about
to pay extra for popcorn.
You want to talk about these movie prices in general? I mean, I'm up here in Northern Michigan, $20 in IMAX, $20,
$20
in Traverse City. How much did you pay?
$350. $3.50.
Oh, is this your A-list thing or whatever?
So I saw it in the Cinemark Playa Vista.
Well, this is a huge point of contention because I
used one of my available movie credits, but I had to pay $350 for the upgrade fee
now,
to go
so
to
wait,
see
you're
the XD.
okay. So explain to me the difference between IMAX and XD.
I mean, there really isn't much of one. Basically, XD is Cinemark Theater's version of IMAX. It's just their biggest screen possible.
Is that where we
theater.
saw Oppenheimer?
Yes.
Okay. That felt big. That screen felt big. Remember when we saw Oppenheimer? Yeah. We ever talked about this in the podcast. We did the Barbenheimer double feature, and I promise we'll get back to Dune Part 2.
We haven't started Dune Part 2 yet.
I know. Well, yeah, good point. We saw Barbie, and then we saw Oppenheimer, and remember what you thought I left in the middle of the movie?
I forgot we've never talked about this.
See, that my great fear in life is just having to go to the bathroom, because I go to the bathroom a lot. It is, I assume, a clinical problem. I've never had it checked, of course. But we saw Barbie, you know, I think I had like something to drink during the movie. We went to dinner in between, had drinks there, went to Oppenheimer. We're in like center of the theater in this gigantic 50 row thing. We're in the middle. 20 minutes in Oppenheimer, I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom so bad. And it's that sort of thing where you're like, okay, I can hold it. Don't think about it. But then you're like, there's 2.5 hours left. Like there's just no way. But in order for it to happen, I'm going to have to get up and inconvenience all of these people in the middle of this movie that we're all seeing on opening night. And so I was like, whatever. That in itself is fine. So I did that, but I was not about to make them all get up again. So in the middle of the movie, I went to the bathroom, came back, and just plopped down in one of the front rows to watch the rest of the movie, because I felt too guilty about making everybody stand up for me again in the middle.
Right.
And you thought that I had just straight
Well,
up
from my perspective, I don't know, an hour or an hour and a half into a 3-hour movie, you got up, left, and never returned. and it was like, there was a lot of things going on. It was like, we had already seen a movie earlier in the day. I was like, maybe he doesn't like it. Like, you
I
were
was
moving to Michigan the
yeah,
next
yeah.
day. And so I was like, maybe he just was like, you know, I'm either falling asleep or I'm not into this. And I need to go pack or something. I had no idea. All
but
I knew was you did not return to your seat.
I remember thinking that I was like, well, they'll see me walk back in, which in hindsight,
I'm really.
It's such an insane thing to think.
I'm always locked in on the people coming back inside the theater.
I know. It's so crazy. But then I remember you texted me after. I think you're like, where are you? And I was like, in the lobby. And you were like,
right.
I thought you were at home.
I think when I turned my phone on at the very end of the movie, I like checked your location, which for some reason, ungodly reason, you share with me.
And it said,
and
fifth row, XD, cinema.
I was expecting it to be like, Culver's, he's back at home. And it was like, he's 100 feet away from you. And I was like, what?
But that was part of the reason I wanted, because that's also how my brain works, was like, I know I missed like 3 minutes of the movie, which was part of the reason I wanted to go back and see it again in theaters, just because I couldn't like rest not knowing I hadn't seen the entire movie. And second time around, movie, not any better. All right, let's get into it.
All right, Dune number 2. We both saw it on big, juicy theaters.
True.
IMAX, XD, you know, pick your poison. Opening weekend, crowded theater, sold out seats, packed to the gills.
Not me. Mine was maybe 30% full.
Oh, no.
No, it's
mine
what
was
do you
very,
mean, oh, no, it's great.
Mine was very full. Went by myself, got the one seat right in the middle of the theater. It was great.
Oh, I mean, God
People
bless.
On either
I wish
side.
I wish I had the confidence to do it. I wouldn't be able to. I just wouldn't be able to.
Strangers on either side. I sat down and they were each using the cup holders
Oh no.
The strangers on either side of me, and I was like, "Ugh!" But luckily, the guy on my left eventually moved his cup to the cup holder between him and the person he was with, and I quickly swooped in
Oh,
to put
that's
my
oh, so he didn't do oh, that's huge.
I put my bottle of water right in that spot.
Where'd you put your hot dog? In the
I
butt?
don't think I didn't actually have a hot dog at this one. Just popcorn and Reese's pieces and a water.
Oh, good. You know, I've slowly started incorporating candy back into my movie diet, just because it went away for so long. I have to get popcorn, but then I slowly as a little treat. Sometimes I get a little candy, which seems a little insane. I'll have like a large popcorn and then also candy at the movie. But you know what? Have you looked around the world? We could be gone tomorrow. No, I didn't have candy.
I did have a hot dog though. My previous theater excursion, which was to Madame Web.
Well, oh God.
Now, before we get into our thoughts on Dune 2, let's start with Madame Web.
There's not enough time. We'll do Madam Web at the end.
We'll do Madame Web during our preview for next year's Oscars.
That'll be a bonus. That'll be a bonus for, ooh, you know it'd be fun, a Razzie episode. That'll
Yeah,
be
subscribe to the Patreon if you want our Madam
a
Web thoughts.
bonus episode for Madam Web. Honestly, this isn't a terrible idea for us. We could, how
Yeah,
much money can we make?
actually.
Honestly, we just do 20 minutes of Madam Web and people have to pay, what, $3 to listen to it? I mean,
Beautiful.
not a bad idea. Text me at 949-939-1839 if you would like the Popcorn Boys to start a Patreon. That is 949-939-1839 if you would pay
That actually
$3
your
a
phone
month.
number?
Yeah.
Huh, you just.
But I have no clue what your phone number is.
Oh, couldn't name a single number in yours.
KYLE. That's all I know. Just a K.
Oh, good. All right, so we've been teasing here, we've been building. So as someone who didn't understand what was going on and didn't love Dune 1, here we go. Now it's time. It's time for you to reveal your thoughts on Dune, colon, part two.
I thought Dune Part 2 was one of the most exhilarating theater experiences I've ever had in my life.
Oh, oh yeah, baby.
Now, let me preface this by saying, if you were to say, break down the plot, ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen.
Wouldn't.
With that being said, do I feel like this plot was much more simple and easier to follow than the first one? Yes, 1,000,000%. But so much of it, I think it is. I think it's much more straightforward. There's just like the goals are obvious. It just made a lot more sense to me. Like the sort of analogies and the religious aspects of it, all of it felt a little bit more palatable for somebody who isn't into sort of sci-fi and doesn't just have a brain that works that way.
Sure.
I thought
Yeah,
it was much more understandable.
I think if you were to compare these two movies to a roller coaster, the entirety of Dune 1 is going clink 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 up at the beginning, and then it ends right as you're about to go over the hill.
What's your
Right?
favorite
And then
roller
Dune
coaster,
2
by
is
the
the
way?
rest of the roller coaster, and you know, there's that was the one of the things I'm most impressed by with Dune 2 is the there is so much happens, and it's almost the opposite of Dune 1 in that where you know things happen, but it's a lot of setup and world building and everything, and then this just pays it all off.
Well, perhaps you missed my question earlier, but what is your favorite roller coaster?
Oh, great question. You know, when I was a kid, it was the Great American Scream Machine at Six Flags Great Adventure in Jackson, New Jersey.
Wow. Okay, never heard of Jackson, New Jersey.
At one point, it was the fastest looping roller coaster in the world, but that was probably in like 1991.
What is the town in New Jersey that always, or at least used to always have a Little League team in the Little League World Series?
Oh, I'm not going to come up with the town, but I know what you're talking about.
Little town? That's not right.
No.
I'm looking it up.
Okay.
Where was this coaster?
Jackson, New
No,
Jersey.
I'm sorry.
Six
What was
Flags
the
Great
park?
Adventure.
Six Flags. There's a Six Flags in a town I've never heard of. Isn't that fascinating?
I mean, have you? You've probably never heard of any of the towns that the Six
Toms
Flags are.
River. Toms River, New Jersey, an absolute mecca for Little League baseball, an absolute mecca for 11-year-old boys.
Mean, they probably recruit
Oh, I'm sure. Listen, I don't, we're
big
already getting,
money in the
we're
Little League
so
World
off track.
Series.
Do you, was the saga of, hold on. I'm looking up his name to make sure I have it right. Was the saga of Danny Almonte as important to you as it was to me?
Danny Almonte was iconic.
I could talk about it forever.
Absolutely one of the greatest sports stories of all time. The way he just mowed everyone down, and then it was, and then later to be revealed that he was like 15 and everyone else was 12 or whatever. It's just,
How old do you think he is today?
let's see. I guess I have to do some math. Well, as to whether I was, I feel like I'm pretty close to his age. I'm gonna say he's 37.
36. He'll be
Oh, look at
37.
that.
He'll be 37 in just over a month.
Damn. Release this in a month so I can get it right.
In May 2006, Almonte announced he was married. The wedding took place in 2005 when Almonte was 18. 4 years later, he was reportedly no longer with his wife, though he would not discuss details of the relationship. I mean, this guy's an unbelievable icon.
Mean, controversy follows him wherever he goes.
Was Danny
Great
Almonte
cut
hot?
fastball,
Oh,
though.
wait, how old was he? How old was he revealed to be?
I don't know. He was supposed to be what, 12?
Yeah, he wasn't 18 yet,
But
huh?
he
Never
was
mind.
like
He
14
wasn't
or
hot. He
15.
wasn't hot.
Had a great fastball, though. He was lefty.
Dude was unbelievable.
Gotta love the Little League World Series.
It was always my dream.
Of course, everyone's dream.
So,
So roller coasters.
roller coasters. Mine was Supreme Scream, Knott's Berry Farm. No big deal.
I've never been to Knott's Berry Farm.
Really? Yeah, you should go actually. I mean, it's like I think a cheaper alternative to Disney and you don't have to deal with Disney people. And I think
Always a
probably
plus.
more fun. I mean, I don't know. Knott's Berry Farm, great. Did I ever tell you? I'm sure I've told this story on the podcast. It's not that funny, but it's like such a core memory that I have. I remember I was in like sixth grade and we went to Knott's Berry Farm for a friend's birthday. There's like a group of maybe like, I don't know, six of us. And I didn't realize that we were supposed to like bring presents. And so I thought that, like, oh, I'm here. Like, that's my present. My presence is my presence. And so we get there and all of the kids have like bags and shit for the
Oh
kid's
no.
birthday. And I was panicked. And so I just pulled out the $20 bill that my parents gave to me to spend on food at the park and said, "Happy birthday." Like, I brought you money.
That's,
Yeah,
yeah, he probably loved it.
I think, oh, I'm sure. I think I went starving for the rest of the day, probably, but I had to save
Oh,
face.
can somebody buy me some vegan snacks at
I wasn't
Knott's
vegan
Berry
back then.
Farm?
I wasn't even vegetarian back then. I could go hog wild.
All right, pop quiz. Can you name what the Six Flags are?
I
And
don't even
what Six
understand the
Flags?
question.
So Six Flags refers to the flags of the six different nations that have governed Texas.
Oh my God. I had no idea that's what that was. Six different nations have governed Texas.
Yeah, can you name them?
Mexico.
One,
Spain.
two.
The United States?
Three. You're doing surprisingly well so far. Halfway there.
Cuba.
Incorrect. The answers are, you want to keep guessing or
No.
So France, the Republic of Texas,
Oh.
And finally, the sixth flag is indeed the Confederate States of America.
Do they still fly that at all six locations?
I mean, I can't imagine they still fly the Confederate flag, right?
Wow, I had no idea. Have you been to the Six Flags in Santa Clarita?
I have Magic Mountain.
Yeah, Magic Mountain.
Been a couple times, but not in 12 years.
Okay, so Dune Part 2.
Oh, right.
With this out of the way that, like, I understood it a little bit more, could I really break it down for you? Probably not. Do I think that matters? I don't. I had the absolute time of my life.
Did you?
I really did. I really did. I thought it was really, really good. And of course, see it in IMAX, see it in IMAX, see it in IMAX, see it in whatever, Cinemark XD, whatever you're calling it. But seeing it on that big screen with that sound, it...
We got a regular Nicole Kidman over here.
Oh, how have we not talked about this? I mean, so I'm promised a new Nicole Kidman ad, okay? A new Nicole Kidman ad at AMC where I went to see Dune, okay? When I tell you they made it worse.
Wait, you got one of the new ads?
Yes.
I didn't think they were out yet. I thought they were like...
No, they came out like March this past weekend. So they've cut the only good part. They cut her line about somehow heartbreak feels good in a place like this. They cut it, and she winks. Instead, she like winks over to the camera, and it's like, there's magic here. I swear to God, it is so bad. I was so mad. I was so mad. They cut the only good part. She is no longer watching Jurassic World or whatever. She's watching like Elvis or something, which... Will we be talking about that? I was so disappointed. I was like, oh, great. New AMC. It's going to be great. It's going to be sort of the same thing. They cut the only good part and gave me this absolute shit. I could not believe it. I could not believe it.
Obviously, as stated previously, I saw it in a Cinemark, so I didn't get Nicole. But I did recently get Nicole at the Tenet re-release, which I saw in IMAX.
We're not going to be.
There was a solo viewer guy there by himself sitting right next to us, and he did indeed recite the entire Nicole Kidman ad as it played. He was saying it out loud.
Well, here's the thing: the whole like cheering for the Nicole Kidman ad was maybe funny for like 3 days. And then when it's like been playing for like 4 months and she comes on screen and her high heel steps in the puddle outside of the AMC, the people who are like cheering, it's like, okay, you suck. Like just the people. Oh, I have another thing. Okay. Once we get to the end of our Dune discussion, which will come in 5 hours, there's a new rule. There's a new rule in movie theaters. There's a new rule. And I am laying this out now. And I am very serious about it.
But we have to wait till the end of our Dune 2 discussion to get there?
Fine. Should I say it now?
No. So, maybe it's played out to cheer for Nicole, but when the Nicole ad ended at Tenet, and before, right as Tenet was about to start, some guy just yelled, "Fuck yeah!" And I'll tell you, it killed.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, that's the thing. It's like these people want, it's like, you know, they want to be someone. They want to be somebody. You know, they think they're the funniest person in the room. Voted class clown. No one wants to be voted class clown. They want to be
it's voted all about...
I was most likely to be Oprah. Thank you.
You were voted most likely to be Oprah?
I sure was.
That's wildly offensive.
To who? Which one? Me?
The Oprah.
Give me a break. I am so Oprah. Harpo. What would my production company name?
Ooh, that's good.
Linad. Not bad.
Linad.
Linad sounds like a character from Dune.
That's not as bad as I thought it would be. Linad. What's mine? Eli.
That's a Dune character for sure. All right. So,
let's hear your new rule.
Okay. My new rule. Listen, people aren't going to like to hear this. No more kids at movies. They're done. Movies are 18 and up. I'll say 14 and up. 14 and up. No more kids at movies. I'm sorry. And you can have like an animated movie. Even that, there have to be special screenings for parents and their kids. No more kids at movies. There was this kid in front of me at Dune who was there with this little nerd dad. Let's probably his stepdad. This kid would not stop talking the entire movie. And he kept talking to his dad, asking questions about what was going on screen. Cute enough once or twice.
This is what you do whenever you go to a movie with me. What's the House Atreides? Who are the Harkins?
Was that Taylor Joy?
Wow, this is really pretty much taken straight from Islam, huh? Did Star Wars rip off this whole story? Sounds like a pretty intuitive kid.
But he just would not stop talking, and then he was like rocking.
Why don't they use the word jihad in the movie? They do in the books.
Is that true?
Oh yeah.
Oh, interesting. I would, of course, never imagine me. I don't understand Dune the movie. Imagine me reading Dune the novel.
I've never read them, but I have.
Not gonna end well.
I have read the book's Wikipedia summary since seeing the movie.
If your kid cannot behave in a movie, and I don't care, I'm sorry. I know every kid has ADD these days. That's not my problem. I'm sorry. If he can't sit still in a movie, rocking back and forth, walking in the aisle, talking. I'm sorry. Not allowed. Kids are not allowed. You're done. No more kids. I'm sorry. You're done. No more. Do not bring. If your kid is a little dork and cannot sit still, here's the thing. Not everybody gets to do everything, okay? If you can't behave in a movie, you don't get to go to the movies.
This is a very ableist.
I don't care. Get out of here. No, you can't sit still and not talk. If you cannot talk throughout the entire movie, you aren't welcome here. Go to a splash pad or something. I don't have time for this.
A splash pad. In Traverse City?
Well, it's been unseasonably warm.
People respect the movies out here in La La Land.
Well, you know, I feel like that I've actually been relatively surprised at how well most people seem to hear. But, like, that there's just something about it. Like, and the dad didn't care. The dad had no problem. I mean, they were sitting amongst all these people, and this kid was just talking the entire time. And it's like, get out of here. Like,
every movie
specialist.
Every ticket should come with a piece of tape that you're allowed to put it on someone's mouth if they won't shut up.
I'm just like, I don't know. If you can't behave somewhere, you don't get to be here. Go away. Anyway.
You know, of all the reasons to miss to the arc light, that might be number one when you'd be there and like they would have like a no tolerance policy for like looking at your phone or talking or whatever. And there was always like, not in every movie, but every once in a while there would be like a borderline incident where someone would be like talking or take out their phone and some super nerd in the back would be like, put it away, I'm getting the management.
I can think of multiple times where that happened. And I loved it. It was awesome. And not like, I get it. Like, I was scared, and I never would. But so, I don't know. Sometimes I would. Like, if I'm in a movie alone, and it's like there's nobody really there. Like, I'll pull up my phone once or twice if I feel like it's been vibrating a bunch to see what's going on or something. But, like, I generally, don't pull up my phone in movies or whatever. But, like...
Unacceptable. Airplane mode only during the movies.
Yeah, but, like, I was scared to pull it out there most of the time. And that's another thing. I'm sorry. Oh, we have to look at our phone. We have to look at our phone. Our kids with the babysitter. I don't care. I don't care. Don't come to the movie then. Don't pull it out.
Agreed.
I'm sorry. Not everybody.
Obviously, there's a way to do that respectfully if something crazy is going on where if you're getting a text or whatever and you're double checking to make sure it's not the babysitter. Some people just like take it out and are just like scrolling.
Oh,
that is like
maddening.
Those people belong in prison.
Yeah, and they will be. All right. So Dune Part 2. There were moments in the theater when I really thought to myself, this is maybe one of the coolest things I've seen in a movie theater. And
really?
Yeah.
Hit that. I mean, yeah, it does kind of hit that level with just the mega set pieces. It really is like a great theater movie.
Oh, like I said, it has to be seen on the biggest screen possible. But like, it really is true. Like it makes for such an incredible experience that like is so unique, and I don't know where else you get that. I thought it was mostly spectacular. I don't know that I thought it was perfect. I think it's maybe a little bit too long, but I say that about most movies. But man,
I'm not sure it was too long. The length didn't bother me.
Yeah. I mean, fair. But I mean, well, I know like Denis talked about like the stuff he's had to cut, like, you know, just whole actors' performances and stuff. Have you seen that?
Right.
Like, which, you know, supposed to be longer. So I'm glad he restrained himself a little bit. But man, I don't know. I thought it was a blast. I had a fantastic time. I thought everybody brought it, although I'm going to say something controversial in just a little bit, but let's zone in.
Wait, hold on. Let's zone in on the most important aspect.
Well, is it what I'm going to be saying?
I don't know.
I have a very controversial take. I have a very controversial take that goes back on things that I have said myself. I don't know if that's where you're going, but...
Well, no, not quite, but let's circle back around to this. But because we have to start here, which is who was the hottest in the movie?
Okay, hold on. That's the idea that is even a question is making me a little uncomfortable. let me say, I'll answer it like this. Austin Butler, I was unaware.
you were unaware?
Austin Butler, I am sorry. I was unaware. Austin Butler.
How are you unaware? What, have you been living under a rock?
I don't know that I've ever seen him with the shirt off. And I am
the
sorry.
The thing is, he's the hottest guy around.
It's just never locked in for me. I've never looked at, I get it. I get the whole thing. I'm like, oh, that's a handsome guy. Like, I've just never locked in on him. I've always found him to be annoying. And to be clear, he is. But Austin Butler.
Once they shaved his eyebrows, you were like, yes.
When he shows up shirtless, first of all, I'm like, wah, wah, wee, wah. And then Austin Butler as...
Not gonna happen.
Okay, great. Austin Butler as insert character name here.
Let's see if I can dig it up here.
It's one of the most sexually charged performances I've seen in quite some time. And he nails it. Austin Butler, I am sorry. You know, I think I've been a sort of an Austin Butler defender. Like I thought Austin Butler was quite good in Elvis. I'm sure I said he was great on this podcast. I should have won the Oscar over Brendan Fraser. Let's just make that very clear.
Let's call him Fade Rotha Harkonnen.
Of course. Yes. And he did say that the
Fade.
Someone's going to get mad. Was improvised. And that really just gets me going. I thought he was so unbelievably hot. and just nailed every little aspect of what he's supposed to be doing. And his character was in it for just the right amount. Every time he was on there, I wanted more, but I didn't get sick of him. I thought he was...
He kind of like perfectly brought a different energy to this movie that they didn't have in the first one, where it was like all of a sudden there's this other character that you're just like, holy shit, you're like...
For sure.
It was just exciting anytime he was on screen. You never know what he was going to do. It was like...
And the black and white battle scene to me was like... I felt like I was about to come. Like I loved it. I loved that. I could not get enough of that. I loved the way that looked. Did it feel a little like, I don't know, Zack Snyder-y in some sort of way, maybe, but I loved it. I thought it looked incredible.
The visionary director, Zack Snyder?
The visionary director. I mean, Austin Butler's the answer. For me, I guess, who is your answer?
So, I think Austin Butler is the correct answer for me personally. And this, you know, is probably a bit of an...
I'm getting nervous. What? I have something to say and I'm going to have to say it and I don't want to, but...
My point is you're not going to have to say it here. You're wrong, by the way. I know exactly what you're going to say and you're incorrect. But the answer is Rebecca Ferguson.
Oh, listen, I'm going to say this here. The Rebecca Ferguson Oscar campaign starts now. I'm sorry. Like,
awesome. I was so into it on every level. She's weird. She's hot. She's doing cool stuff with Poison and her unborn child. I mean.
Do you remember, were you watching WWF when Hakushi was around?
Hakushi?
Look up Hakushi. She's giving real Hakushi vibes.
What a reference this is.
People know Hakushi.
Hakushi. Are you talking about Rafiki?
No. You're talking about Rikishi. Rafiki's from The Lion King.
All right, sure. Oh, yeah. That's actually a pretty good call.
Yeah. Rebecca Ferguson is giving me real Hakushi vibes. Now, you can only get that on the Popcorn Boys, okay? Legendary feud with Bret Hart.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty good. See, he has similar... similar looking, let's call them tattoos on him.
Yeah, I don't know what we're calling them, but sure.
But Rebecca Ferguson. Oh, loved it.
Yeah.
All right, make your annoying point about how Zendaya was actually the weak part of the movie. Go ahead, let's hear it.
Okay, it's actually worse than that. Maybe it's not worse. I don't think Zendaya is bad in the movie, really by any means. And I don't even think she's the weak link in the movie. And I actually don't really think there is one. The fact that we haven't even talked about Timothy yet is crazy, but we will.
True.
But maybe even worse than not being the weak link of the movie, I do... unfortunately have to report that Zendaya is not that girl.
Preposterous.
I'm going back on my status. Zendaya is not that girl. Now, the reason for that, is she does not command the screen in this feature film. And there's a big old screen to command. She does not quite command that screen. Where she does command the screen is in the trailer for the feature film Challengers, which will probably change my mind on Zendaya once again being that girl, which is maybe my most anticipated film of the year. In Dune Part 2, though, I do have to say Zendaya is unfortunately back in the category of not that girl. She has been supplanted by Sydney Sweeney, who is now that girl. And that is where I stand on Zendaya's performance in Dune Part 2.
Look, I understand the point you're making, but I will not have Zendaya slander on this podcast.
You know, honestly, you know who's creeping up into that girl territory? Sorry to say it. Florence Pugh, you're on deck.
Oh, come on. Florence Pugh,
Florence Pugh is so much more that girl in Dune Part 2 than Zendaya. It is absolutely crazy. It is absolutely crazy.
Florence Pugh had the easiest job in the world in this movie. She just had to look interesting. Zendaya is stuck.
By the way, just hand over the Oscar for costumes now.
Absolutely just give phenomenal it to costume. Them
now. Unbelievable. Right. If we're making WWF references, Florence Pugh looking like Hercules. If you wait, no, I'm sorry. No. Who am I thinking of?
Oh God.
Oh,
he's
my
messed
God.
It up.
No, it's not. I know I did.
Oh geez. This is disappointing.
Hold on.
This is disappointing.
I know. Hold on. Oh my God. The fact that I can't remember who this
She's
is.
Dressed like Umaga.
She's not dressed like Umaga.
Oh boy.
Oh, this is bad. Oh my God. Hold on. Oh my God. I can't remember his name. Hold on. And the search terms I'm using to try and find him are
this is just quite so terrible. Sad.
Hold on.
Look, while you're searching this, stop yelling. Hold on. While you're searching this, the point must be made that Florence Pugh gets to wear this really cool outfit and say like five lines the whole movie, including for some reason narrating the beginning, which was weird.
I know. Yeah.
She's like writing in her diary or something. And then, but Zendaya is stuck in the weird like jumpsuit attire the whole movie with a thing up her nose. It's not her fault.
Well, I'm sorry. I think Austin Butler was mostly wearing the same thing all movie. It didn't help. It didn't.
What are you talking about? He's like half naked the whole time.
You know, he's only half naked for a little bit, which is one of my big criticisms about the film is that he should have been more.
Well, I mean, the Zendaya Timothy sex scene was my biggest criticism. Get after it a little bit.
Oh, the warlord. The fact that I couldn't remember.
Oh my God, he finally
also
figured it out.
It took me so long because I'm on an alphabetical list. Oh, right after the late Virgil. Where were you when you found out Virgil died?
How's that work? The warlord.
The warlord is wearing Florence Pugh in Dune Part 2. And there's no
what? Reference. That's the worst reference ever.
Well, what are you looking
at? Images of WWE the Warlord.
No, hold on. You got to scroll a little bit. You got to find one from.
Look, there's 700.
You don't get the Warlord like I do.
Well, send me the picture you're looking at.
Okay, here it is. It's of an action figure, but hold on. I'll find a real one.
Look, there's been like 40 WWE characters that have an outfit closer to what she was wearing in the movie than this.
That might be true. Anyway, I'm sorry, what were you saying? Oh, the sex scene. Yeah, well, it's...
Yeah, you know, get after it a little bit.
Well, because I was like, oh, Zendaya must like... Like, Timothy Chalamet, for her, it's sort of like... It's almost embarrassing. But then I remember who she's dating. And, like, they look the fucking exact same.
Of course. But, like,
Timothy Chalamet is her type. So... But I guess
he's everyone's type. It's Timothy Chalamet.
I mean, that's a large discussion to be having, I suppose. I mean, not speak for yourself. I mean, yeah, I don't know. No, I do not find him to be, I guess, what a layman would call attractive. He's like an editorial model for sure. I mean, the shape and the jawbone and all of it. Yeah, sure. Of course, I understand. But, like, that's not what I'm after.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have Austin Butler vibes, but he's still attractive.
Sure. Editorial.
Austin Butler, by the way, during the press tour, he's like peak Austin Butler.
The man's unhinged. He's not well.
Oh, I know. It's great. I love it.
It's all we need. I know. Thank God. What did you think of Timothy's performance, though, outside of the jawbone?
I think his performance was fantastic. I think for the movie to really work, you have to buy his transition throughout the movie. And like the scene towards the end where he's like, you know, his like big speech, for lack of a better way to put it, at the end, really works. And if that doesn't work, the movie is, you know, you're not in. And also when he yells silence at the Bene Gesserit woman, it's one of the best moments of the movie.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, he he kills it.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Dave Bautista. His, not him personally, because he was great, but it, his character really got the short end of the stick there.
I know. Poor Dave, but what a career,
though. He was just raging. He was just roid raging the whole movie.
He really was. I mean, we love Dave. We love Dave. I mean, maybe Dave could be a good contender for a celebrity to have on the podcast. He would do it.
Of course. I just watched him in Blade Runner 2049. He was great.
I know. No, wait. What did you, not to do too much of a sidetrack, but what did you think of watching that again?
Oh, I was very into it. I couldn't remember like what happens in the second half of the movie. I've seen it a couple times before. It's definitely not perfect, but I liked it more than I thought I was going to upon rewatch. It's a little bit slow throughout. And so you kind of have to like lock in or you're going to like stop paying attention.
Yeah.
But it, like, it's the same thing with like Dune 1, where the visuals are just so awesome that like that baseline is already very cool. And then I thought they did some cool stuff with it.
Yeah. I haven't seen that since theaters. Saw that at the
ultimately, I think like the bad guys aren't that cool, which is the biggest weakness of the movie for sure.
Fair enough. Okay. I saw that the Regal
LA. It's like Jared Leto, who is fine, and then he has like a woman henchman who kind of isn't that exciting.
Yeah, I'll see it again at some point.
Sure. Yeah. You'll continue your Denis filmography.
Well, now wait. So hold on. So I feel like I've sort of given my thoughts here. I feel like we're dancing around a little bit how you felt.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, I liked Dune 1 more than you. So I already had a baseline that was pretty high. And I think... I guess part of it, I've sort of been avoiding revealing exactly how I feel because I'm still kind of tinkering with that a little bit. Like, okay. I loved it. I thought it was awesome. And so I'm kind of like hesitant to kind of express everything because I'm not quite sure where it lands on like the hierarchy, right? Of like these, my favorite sci-fi movies. I'll need to see it again before I can kind of fully break down. I mean, some people are, it's been called his Empire Strikes Back, you know, it's been compared to the Two Towers, you know, there's a lot of high praise being thrown out for this, and so I think that's making me pull back a little bit from my before I see it again. But in the theater I was loving every second. I was like, this is awesome. Just, and it's one of those things where you sort of have to take a step back, because when you see it in an awesome theater, like every element of just the movie making is so like mind-blowingly good. Just the way it looks, the way it sounds, the score, the you know, everyone's hot, the performances are all like.
I had that thought too, but like, isn't right. Because I had that thought.
And so really what I'm like coming to terms with was whether like the story is on that same level too, to be like one of the greats.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, right. I think you make an interesting point, because I had that same thought too, where it's like, if I had just seen this on like a normal size screen or something, would I like this as much? And the answer is obviously no, but I don't think that that's important. Like, I think what we're ranking here and talking about here is like the experience of the IMAX XD experience. Like, I don't know.
10 out of 10. Couldn't recommend it highly enough.
Totally. Like, yeah.
And so I think what I'm hesitating is because of all the comparisons, it's getting like, you know, in 40 years, am I going to be like firing up Dune Part 2 the way I would Empire Strikes Back? You know,
well, in 40 years, are you going to be alive? Is really the bigger question here.
Great question. I mean, in like 6 weeks, am I going to be alive after I run the marathon? TBD.
I know, time's a ticking. Which, by the way, remind me, this is, listeners, stop listening for 10 seconds. When should I be getting to town?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, great.
The race is on Monday, so whenever you feel like it beforehand.
But isn't there stuff going on that weekend or no?
I mean, what do you mean by stuff going on?
I don't know. Is there a gathering? I mean...
in terms of like me personally.
Yeah.
Like on Sunday, I'm going to be going into Boston and going to their like expo or whatever. Yeah, because I need to like pick up stuff.
Oh. It's boring as hell.
No, it's like cool. It's like, oh, marathon.
No, that sounds expo. Really, no, that sounds good. That sounds good. Whatever, and then we'll I'll figure it out. I got to figure out.
I'll be going to bed early Sunday night.
For sure. I got to figure out I'm going to a Red Sox game. I got to figure out. I mean, there's a lot to figure out.
Yeah, we got some deets to discuss, but we'll do that later.
What?
Anyway, when am I going to see Dune Part 2 again?
I don't know. I mean,
all right, let's run through.
Can you wait to go see it at the Universal City IMAX, which I've heard is sold out for weeks?
Yeah, everything they show is sold out for weeks. I had to get my Tenet reissue like a month and a half out.
Really? That's crazy. I know. That's one thing about not being there that I don't miss. Like, I just bought my ticket for the IMAX like 5 minutes right before, and it was like half.
I mean, it's just that one specifically is like the best IMAX in LA, and so you know, all these showings just.
Well, I think he'll love this. One of our most dedicated listeners, who has appeared on the podcast in passing as he comes home from the gym, my former roommate Joel, went and saw it in IMAX, I believe, at Universal City at 7:30 a.m.
That's fantastic.
That was the only showing that was like available, whatever. It's crazy. IMAX fever is, and you know, you have conveniently not mentioned how much money it made at the box office and who drafted it. You know, how I'm
out. Oh, yeah, man, it's doing well. It's up to 89 million.
Yeah, and I think it's just, it's, I think.
Remember when I drafted it last year, and even though it didn't come out, I still beat you?
Moving on. I do think, though, when something like this comes out, right, it's like it's exciting and it's fun when people are amped about the movie going experience. Like when people like want to go see this in IMAX, they want to go have that experience of seeing this huge movie on a big screen, and just it doesn't really happen that much anymore where there's just these moments where people are like, oh, you have to see that in theaters. You know,
yeah.
In the way where, like, you know, everybody's watching everything at home, and I'm so guilty of that sometimes too. Like, it is very fun now where it's like we have, I mean, I don't know, it was the last thing where this was the case where people had to go see something in theater. I mean, it's, Playmobil, the movie. I mean, it could have been the last one.
Could have been. Barbenheimer was probably the last moment.
For sure. No, for sure. But, like, yeah, it's fun. It's cool. It's fun to have this, like, and it helps too, right? Where it's like, and this is kind of why Barbie was such a thing. But like, it's fun that it's just like some of the biggest stars in the world are in this thing too. Like, it's just, it's everything converging at once, right? It's like,
I mean, that's one of the things that kind of was awesome about this movie is like, even these small, like Florence Pugh doesn't do very much in it, but like,
now, are you calling Florence Pugh one of the biggest stars in the world?
She's a big star.
I don't know. Florence Pugh to me is not a big star, despite the fact that I said she is challenging to be, you know, that girl. But she's challenging. She's not quite there. I don't think Florence Pugh is that famous. Florence Pugh is not a movie star. Which is not, again, people want to drag me for saying someone is not a movie star is not a drag. It's honestly kind of a compliment to Florence Pugh, to be honest.
So what's the point you're trying to make here?
I just don't.
I
think
mean, I'm saying they
I
put.
I don't think she's that. I don't think Florence Pugh is very famous. I would bet if you were to get 10 random people on the street, I bet less than half would know that name. Right.
Well, sure, but I mean.
Well, okay. So less than half of the population knows who somebody is. I don't think that they're famous, or like that famous.
Okay, but she's here. All right. So here's what I'm saying. She's wildly overqualified for the role that she plays in this movie.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I mean, it's unquestionable.
She'll hypothetically like play a big part going forward, right? As far as I know about what's happening next.
Yes, and I think that was part of what, like, I think, I've seen a few things where, with either her telling the story or Denis telling the story where he was basically, where she was basically like, I don't care that I don't have much to do in this. I just want to be like, this project seems awesome. I want to be in. And he was like, I promise you'll have more to do in the next one. They're like this, you know, her and character she's like, becomes
that's fine. I don't need to have more to do.
Right. But I mean, like every time, you know, each new character that just pops up, you're like, oh, cool. This person, like, regardless of whether they're how famous they are, because, you know, there aren't any movie stars left. But it's like, you know, we haven't mentioned Javier Bardem's name yet. Like, he's all over the place. Oh, my
God.
Doing Javier Bardem,
who just thought he was in just a slapstick
like,
comedy the entire time.
He's, like, doing his youth sports dad routine.
He's great. He was so funny.
He's great. I mean, Lea Seydoux, great. Like, and everyone is just so striking to look. Christopher Walken, we haven't mentioned his name yet.
I know.
Am I missing anyone? Roland
shows up again.
Right.
In between writing love letters to the cast.
There's a cameo from Anya Taylor-Joy.
There sure is. I know. Who else? Are we missing anybody else?
Not really. I'm looking at the cast right now.
Yeah, I don't think so. But yeah. Sorry. Go on.
What was your favorite sequence? Here are the nominees.
Okay.
Riding a giant worm.
The worm, man.
Austin Butler as Gladiator.
Mm-hmm.
Timothy Big Speech. Let's say Worm Trio.
Sure. The guys flying from the cliff.
The guys. Everybody loves the guys flying. That was cool. Mm-hmm. And how about Knife Fight?
Yeah, Knife, man. Honestly?
I mean, the fact that I just rattled off like 7 or 8 pretty big time sequences and there's a million that I'm leaving out, it's pretty cool.
I almost feel like it's not the right answer. And I don't even know what that means, I guess. But for me, it's like the Austin Butler Gladiator scene. Loved it. It's just so it's just so striking. It's just like I just loved it. I mean, that's the answer for me, I think. I mean, the worm, man, that is, I mean, and the sound in the theater when that's happening is so crazy. I mean, I thought the worm's riding when Timmy is, you know, getting his hooks in that thing. Insane. Like, that was one of those things where I was like, this
hooks is in that worm and riding it out.
I don't know. It's like, I'm like, this is why you come to the movies. Who am I, Nicole Kidman?
We come here for magic. That was magic, baby.
We come here for worms.
Trying to think if there are any other major sequences that I'm forgetting as I scroll through the plot on Wikipedia. How about the Water of Life sequence?
The Water of Life. Man, that shit looked good, too. I was thirsty. I was like, give me some of that.
Having an unborn daughter who's just like unhinged and telling you things is, I was so into that.
Yeah, very fun.
Man.
It's just,
how do you feel about the Bene Gesserit's plan?
Now, who's that?
Do you know who the Bene Gesserit are?
Yes. How do I feel about their plan?
I'm just making sure you're familiar with this, with what actually happened in the story here.
Well, how do I feel about their plan? Not good. Do you know? I guess you don't because you haven't read the books. But what, in terms of the plot, like what happens from here?
I have avoided actually like reading about what actually happens, but I've seen a lot of things just like on Twitter hinted ahead or people who have read the books and stuff like that knowing what comes next and kind of like sort of like making jokes about it based on people's reaction to what happened in this movie.
Sure.
So yeah. I know a few things I have a pretty good sense of what happens in what like the basic plot line of the next book slash what the next movie would be.
Yeah.
And then I know one kind of massive thing that happens probably like four or five books in.
Girl fight.
That I don't want
to. Valentine style.
I don't even think I want to reveal it on the podcast.
Wow. Okay. Well, please don't.
But it's hilarious.
Okay.
I'll tell you after. I don't want to ruin it for our listeners who.
But you'll ruin it for me.
Well, yeah, I'm fine with that. You won't remember anyway.
Good point. That's a really good point. It's a really good point. Wow. Well, it feels like we're on the same page here, which is nice. It feels like that doesn't happen that often with these big things, right? I guess I always
try. Yeah, I'm curious.
A bit of a contrarian when it comes to movies like this, maybe, but sorry.
Well, yeah. You're not a sci-fi guy.
It's true.
Which is now where so you've presumably now seen every Villeneuve movie, yeah?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Care to rank them for us?
Wow, that's impossible. I think that's way too hard.
Which did you like better, Dune Part One or Polytechnique?
Well, you know what's interesting about it's interesting is I saw somebody online the other day being like, wow, I really love like the gladiator scenes. It'd be fun if Villeneuve did a black and white movie. Somebody hasn't seen Polytechnique.
Similar vibes.
Well, it's black and white. The whole thing's black and white.
I don't need black and white movies. If you want to do certain sections in black and white for artistic effect, yeah. Great. I don't need the whole thing in black and white.
I mean,
Roma could have used some color. Was Roma in black and white? I think it was, right?
It was. I mean, short answer to your big question. I would need to see Sicario again, probably. I haven't seen that in a long time. I mean,
that's my number one.
I love Arrival. I think Arrival is maybe at the top, but yeah, I'd say Arrival is probably my favorite. But Incendies is really good. I don't know. I mean, he's just made so many interesting movies. But Arrival would probably be at the top for me. And then
yeah.
Now is the first Dune last? It might be.
Interesting.
It might be. I mean, it's hilarious to rank that against some of his earlier movies, like his first two specifically that are like 90 minute low budget movies where you're like, I don't know, how does this compare to Dune?
I think Sicario is still my number one.
I love that. You've always loved Sicario, which I respect.
I mean, Sicario is one of my, like, Sicario is kind of my, exactly my shit, basically. Yeah. Where it's like my favorite sort of genre of movie are like super intense crime thrillers.
Yeah.
And this is just like impeccably made version of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's become one of my favorite movies of, you know, when did it come out? So let's say last decade.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's on whatever short list I would come up with for the 2010s. It's going to be in there.
Ooh, that'd be a fun episode.
Ooh.
Oh.
Now that we're 5 years into the next decade, let's talk about our favorite movies from last decade.
Should we? So to sort of transition into what I think next episode will be and what this weekend holds, what do you think Dune's Oscar prospects are?
Look at you. What are you reading? What are you reading off my outline?
Look at me. As much as we talked about, Rebecca Ferguson and the performances, I would be pretty surprised if this gets any acting nominations, but pretty obviously a Best Picture nominee. And I guess a big question is, could Denis win Best Director for this, I think is.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously it's, you know, it's so early in the year that it's, I mean, what, March just started? This movie came out in the first weekend of March. Like, obviously, it's hard to project that far forward. It's basically the first movie of the year, other than Madame Web, that is, like, into the conversation of next year's Oscars.
Yeah, so we're about to have sort of an overdue white male director win Best Director for a movie that came out in the middle of the year ish. Sure. In this big epic. I'm not saying Dune Part 2 is Villeneuve's Oppenheimer, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's like it's a little, you know, it's you know, Nolan makes a lot of sci-fi movies, obviously, and some of them have been nominated, but, like, he's going to win everything for the one that's, like,
yeah,
the personal story, historical story.
Yeah, I think the answer is no, but, I mean, I think he'll be nominated for sure, but I don't think he's winning the Oscar for Dune Part 2, but there's all, I mean, this feels like something that could win, I don't know, 5 or 6 Oscars if it wants to.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly going to be a front runner for things like cinematography and score and, you know,
costumes,
effects, sound, basically all the below the lines that are just impeccable. And this is, you know, it has a chance to run the table on a lot of those. I saw some people talking about, well, like, had it actually made its release date, and been eligible for this year's, like, it would be competing against Oppenheimer and a lot of those things that Oppenheimer is probably going to sweep, and it would be interesting to see how
that would
have played out. And I guess, you know,
what Best Picture nominee would it have bumped out?
Right.
Past right. Lives.
Yeah, what's at the bottom?
It's got to be Past Lives.
Does it?
I think so. I mean, it's that or... Yeah, it has to be.
I mean, people like Best Life.
Well, sure. I mean, yeah, of course they do. But, like...
Maestro?
No. Yeah.
Haven't finished yet.
That might be the answer.
I need to finish Maestro and go see the Zone of Interest before Sunday.
Wow! You haven't seen... Oh, I forgot you haven't seen Zone of Interest yet.
No.
Wow. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, as we turn the page here, I mean, Oscars on Sunday. I don't, you know, we'll do a recap next week.
Hell yeah.
It's always a little bit of a bummer when the Oscars sort of, and I think we've said this before, but, you know, when you sort of are sort of pulling into the station here in award season and everything just kind of feels exhausting at this point and very predictable, like the Oscars are on Sunday, and it's great, it's exciting, it's the Oscars, but I'm more intrigued about, like, what the broadcast is going to be than the winners.
Yeah, it feels, you know, more than ever, and it feels like every year it inches further in this direction, but the, you know, there's maybe there'll be one upset somewhere, but, like, other than the Best Actress race, I'm not sure there's, like, a major race out there that is, I mean, again, maybe there'll be an upset or two somewhere, but, like, the big ones are pretty locked in.
I don't see how there could be, honestly. Like, honestly,
I'd like to say there's always one surprise, and so there's usually one, but
yeah, I mean, yeah. I suppose the surprise that could happen, I suppose, like, honestly, I think my biggest call out for a surprise would be in Best Actress, where it's not Emma or Lily. It's like Sandra Hüller from Anatomy of a Fall, like, swoops in and wins.
Right.
But I wouldn't predict that, certainly. But I'm like, well, it could be something I envision.
Yeah.
But, like, everything else is so set in stone. And then, well, set in Gladstone. Perhaps.
Oh.
Interesting race. I think maybe the most interesting race of the night is in animated, because Boy and the Heron up against Spider-Verse is fun, and that could that could go either way.
Yeah.
So that's sort of below the line
stuff. Yeah, there's definitely in like I don't know that the screenplays are locked in quite yet, but
yeah,
in terms of the big biggies, not a lot to.
How do you feel about Billie Eilish, 2-time Oscar winner?
That's bizarre.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? We'll be back next week recapping all of Jimmy Kimmel shenanigans. I mean, this.
Well, hold on. We're not quite done yet. By the way, I will say
you wrote the
drove outline. Through Hollywood on the way to see Tenet, and there were already stanchions up.
Listen, there is something very.
They were ready to start closing down the street another day or two after I went by, which was the middle of last week.
Yeah.
Also, a big thing that I just realized is happening on the morning of Oscar Sunday. The Screenland 5K through Culver City. Might sign up for it, TBD.
Oh, really? Wait, do you get to run through like Sony?
Yeah. And apparently they like deck it all out or something. I don't know.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Like there was like a street sign, or there was like a sign saying the road was going to be closed, you know, over the weekend or whatever. And so I was like, wait, what is this for? And then I saw it was for the 5K that goes basically from the train stop by Del Taco is where it starts. And then you like run down through the Sony lot and then kind of loop back around and come back up.
I mean, a 5K, you could win at this point.
I'm not very fast.
What do you think you win? 5K. Do you think you win tickets to the Oscars?
Yeah, probably. I win Best Picture. But people apparently, like, I was looking at people, like, dress up in, like, it's, like, history.
No, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do it.
I'm gonna dress
running
up
as Charlie Chaplin?
Yeah, literally. I saw a picture of someone doing that.
I take back everything I said. You are not allowed to do this.
I'll be running 5K as Tin Man with spray paint all over me. Are you excited for Dune 3?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, especially because I think it'll, again, I'll probably sound stupid because I don't know, but it'll be some sort of love triangle, perhaps?
Well, are you still excited even though some of your favorite characters are perhaps no more? No spoilers, but, you know.
Well, I know. Yeah, there's always hot people out there on, let's call it, Arrakis.
Well, that's the thing. This movie rolled in a second wave of hot people after.
No, I was going to say.
People died in the first wave. And who's still out there that we haven't, that could be casted in Dune 3?
Ooh. Jacob Elordi would look real good on Arrakis.
Oh, no, not this again.
Barry Keoghan, hello. Ooh. News calling.
Yeah, I mean, that'll probably happen.
It does feel like there's this like small pool that just like gets sort of like recirculated every year, but like it's them. Who else is in that pool right now? Like Sydney.
Well, they have like, right. Well, it's funny, this movie is kind of like two generations, right? There's like the young generation where it's Timothy Zendaya, Austin Butler, and Florence, who are obviously like making waves during all the press for this. And I guess Anya Taylor-Joy to a lesser extent, because it's kind of just a cameo. But
yeah,
I'm curious if she'll be like in the movie. I don't know how that's
going to
play out.
I think he said that he like, is excited to work. Or maybe...
Speaking of her, by the way, did you get the Furiosa trailer before?
Yeah, I've said my thoughts on this.
No, it's different on the big screen, baby.
No, it doesn't.
You're so wrong. I can't wait to rub this in your face when it's a goddamn banger.
Oh no! I think it's going to be a great movie. I just don't. She's just not that girl. She's just not that girl. I think the movie is going to be great, but she's. I don't anticipate coming away from that thinking, wow, Anya Taylor-Joy is that girl. I will admit when I'm wrong. As I've said here today, Zendaya she's in risky territory here of losing the categorization of that girl, and that is shocking. That's shocking.
I have the most no-brainer prediction ever for Dune 3.
I'm going to say that Chris Hemsworth carried the movie.
for Dune 3.
Oh, for
Dune 3 casting.
Okay, laid on
Charlize is going to be in Dune 3.
Oh,
lock I it in right it. Now.
I could see it. I could see it.
Lock it in. She fits right in that world.
I could see it. I could see it. You know who should, honestly, who should be in it based on them working before? Like, fucking throw him
Tom Cruise, yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal a bone.
Ooh, not bad.
Have we talked about Beef Season 2 on the podcast?
Should Tom Cruise be in Dune 3?
No, enough. Tom Cruise working with Inuyuritu. I'm telling you, if there's a Tom Cruise Oscar season, that will be the end of this podcast. It will go up in flames. It's not going to end well. Are we?
What?
It's just so upsetting.
What is?
His prevalence.
What do you mean?
I
feel like we haven't seen any Tom Cruise Dune 2 content, have we?
Dune 2?
Yeah, like he went out to see Dune 2 sort of thing.
Oh.
Like anytime there's a big movie, there like Tom makes a little appearance and it's like
the only time he does that,
especially because
he has a movie coming out himself.
Well, he signed that deal with Warner Brothers. It's a Warner Brothers movie. Yeah.
Whatever. I'm so over. I'm so over it. I hate him so much.
What?
Glenn Powell, Dune 3.
Not bad.
Yeah, I did get the Twisters trailer.
Yeah, Twisters trailer slaps.
Yeah, it really does. It does. And the chat. Listen, I said before the Challengers trailer. I am so ready. I am so excited for that movie.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, man. I love it.
I can't wait.
All
right. So, before we wrap here, Madam Web. We were supposed to do this episode last week. We both went and saw Madam Web because it was so bad it's funny sort of thing. I didn't think it was that bad.
Kind of really?
Like Madam Web. I mean, it's obviously terrible. And it has the funniest ending of all time.
Well, my biggest thought is like,
I mean, it's bad, but I enjoyed it. I was having a good time.
I would have had a good time had I been seeing it with you. I was just I just was sitting there alone in a theater with, you guessed it, just me, and then a father and his son.
Was the kid asking questions the whole time?
No, this kid was allowed. This kid was allowed.
He's leaning over going, why isn't Sydney Sweeney in a Spider-Woman costume?
It would have been really fun to see it with somebody else because you could have at least like laughed about it and whatever. Seeing it alone is kind of an agonizing experience. Although I did, there are like multiple times I did laugh out loud. Now, of course, I have to bring up my biggest point of contention with the movie is the diner scene, which is just absurd in general. It's absurd for the fact that like this fight scene is scored to Toxic by Britney Spears. And I'm sorry, I hate to be a pop music historian, but it's so funny to me when movies get this wrong.
Don't do this. This doesn't matter.
It does. No, it does to me and it does to Britney.
It's close enough.
No, but why? Isn't that interesting though? Why not just make it accurate? That's what I don't get. Like, why not?
Well, the answer.
Have it be wrong. So what I'm saying is there's a scene where they're listening to Toxic and they're like, we love this. I love this song. And according to the real world, that song had not come out yet. Why not just have it be real or right?
Doesn't bother me in the slightest. We're close enough.
But why not just have it be the next year?
I forget. There was some sort of read. So apparently I read up a little bit on this, and apparently the movie was like originally supposed to be take place in like the 90s or something. Like they like retroactively went back and like put stuff in to like put it in a different year or whatever. Like, there's like that random Beyonce poster.
Yes.
So the rumors anyway, or is that it was originally set at a different, and then in order for it to fit with like other movies in like the Sony Spider-Verse timeline and stuff, they like retconned it to 2003 or whatever fucking year it was supposed to be.
It's too exhausting. But,
not going to be in Dune 3, the bad guy in Madame Web.
Oh my God.
I've never
in my life seen
a performance. To be fair, that guy apparently people like and is a good actor in some other things, so I don't think it's fault at all.
But... God bless him and his family. But like, I have never
one of the most incredible
things. But I'm sure you clocked this. Like, his entire performance is like 80 yard.
Oh yeah,
but like, and why do you think
90% of it at least?
Do you think that was because
blatantly doesn't match his mouth at times? No.
Why do you think that was? Like, because I don't mean this to be an asshole, but like, is like his accent, like they couldn't understand him in post, or like it just didn't, the performance didn't work? Like,
absolutely no idea, because whatever, you know, like, because
they're not changing he says, they're just dubbing it.
I suppose if you're it is weird to be like, oh, this is like what they eventually were like, sure, good enough. Like, so theoretically anyway, this is like an improvement.
Right.
I'm very curious to see like what the first cut looked like.
Oh, God.
Especially with that character.
Now, what do you think Adam Scott thought when he saw this film for the first time?
I think he probably enjoyed it. You know? He's always wanted to be an EMT or ambulance driver, whatever the hell he was.
I mean, there's just so much. We could have done a full episode on this. It's too late now. But, I mean, if you hadn't seen it, wait, who drafted it? Me? Get out to the theaters and go see Madam. I mean, bring your friends, bring your family. Go see Madam Web in theaters.
So, like, people who know that character apparently, like, know that she becomes blind. Like, that was a thing that, like, comic book fans, like, understood. But having no context for that other than what's happening in the movie is just like, why? What? It was like...
Well, the final 5 minutes...
Her being blinded at the end was one of the absolute... Like, one of the best 5 minutes of a movie I've ever seen.
It really was incredible. I know. I would, like, yeah, up there for... Like 80 for Brady, Jane Fonda getting on and calling plays during the Super Bowl over the headset.
Yes.
Just incredible. Exactly. Just incredible stuff. Yeah, I mean, you know, Dakota Johnson, one of the best we have. Dakota Johnson for Dune Part 3, of course. Could see her doing it. But Madam Web, I think, Will, I saw somebody say this. It's like, it's one of those movies that will in 10 years be getting these like screenings, you know, at like the new
movie
or whatever. And I think it will become this like, cult thing, which will be really fun in 10 years. But I mean, thank God Sydney Sweeney had Anyone But You. Can you imagine if she hadn't had that? I mean, had that flopped or something? I mean, found dead in a ditch, but here she is in the running for That Girl.
Man, please keep me updated with your That Girl power rankings.
I certainly will. I certainly will. They're always changing, as you know. I can't believe Zendaya has been kind of bumped down here a little bit, but it is what it is, and those are the rankings. And, you know, Rebecca Ferguson, is she That Girl? No, but, you know.
Her unborn child is.
For sure. What movies are coming out soon?
Well, Kung Fu Panda 4, of course.
Now, unfortunately, the next movie in my calendar that comes out is Ricky Stenicki, starring John Cena and Zac Efron, a movie I will be watching, of course. Oh, well, hold on. I mean, we do know. So we'll do Oscars, and then a day I'm simultaneously dreading while also just feverishly anticipating is March 21st, when the feature film Roadhouse drops on
Prime. Oh, I thought you were going to say Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Please, no. I would never do that to myself. Jake Gyllenhaal, Conor McGregor, we're doing an episode on Roadhouse. That just is what it is. That is what this Popcorn Boys podcast is. It just is.
Fair enough. I mean, I'm not gonna fight against that. I'm excited for Roadhouse. Gonna rewatch the old one.
Never seen it.
What?
Never seen it.
God.
I will.
What's wrong with you?
We're about to get this is when the podcast gets good. If you're listening to this and you're like, this sucks, but just wait. Because this is when it gets good. When there's no good movies coming out, and we just like get into the muck of like watching the original Roadhouse. Now hold on. Original Roadhouse is Patrick Swayze?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Sam Elliott.
Okay, I'll watch that.
He's like he's a bouncer, and they hire him to go to a rowdy bar. That's the whole movie.
I'm in.
And then people start getting killed. But not in like a mystery way. It's like they're just killing people at the bar.
Yeah. All right, I'm in.
Or something. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a very long time.
Well, can't wait. Couple weeks, we'll be back on justwatch.com searching Roadhouse. Trying to figure out. It's got to be on Prime, right? They got to have that shit on there. People can get ready.
You would think so. I mean, you would think they would have gotten the rights to it leading into this, right?
Probably. Well, listen, this has been Dune. I'm thrilled we're on the same page. I had the time of my life. Happy Oscar weekend to you and yours. Happy Oscars. Sad we won't be watching it together. I mean, here's hoping for... I do, for whatever reason, have hopes that the ceremony is going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm excited.
I hope so. Yeah,
maybe they'll take another selfie.
Could you imagine... I mean, they took a selfie, and we got Julia, we got Jennifer, we got Lupita's brother, we got Bradley, we got...
Kevin Spacey.
Oh, that's right. God. Unreal. All right, well, happy Oscars. By the way,
when was the last time you watched the video of the selfie being taken?
I would say when it happened live.
Because we hit the anniversary of it the other day, and so people were posting it on Twitter. There's like Ellen and Bradley Cooper almost get in a fight over who's going to actually take the picture. Cause Bradley's like, no, my arm can clearly reach out. I'll take it. And he reaches like five different times.
He is a filmmaker. That was our first glimpse. That was our first glimpse. And this guy might have an eye for a lens. And then Ellen would never be heard from again.
Yeah. RIP Ellen.
Yeah, may she rest. May she rest in peace. All right.
Well,
happy Oscars. Until next week.
We dedicate this episode to Hank.
Oh, I was going to do my Dune voice.
What? That's a terrible Dune voice. God, you're not good at voice work.
Okay, fuck off. Bye.